want to share a thought with you that the Lord put on my heart, entitled, "The Victory Is Yours." The victory is yours. Deuteronomy chapter 9, starting with verse 1 to 3. "Listen, O Israel, today you are about to cross the Jordan River to take over the land belonging to nations much greater and more powerful than you. They live in cities with walls that reach to the sky. The people are strong and tall, descendants of the famous Anakite giants." Giants. "You've heard the saying, 'Who can stand up to the Anakites?' But recognize today that the Lord your God is the one who is crossing, who will cross over ahead of you. Like a devouring fire, he will destroy them. He will subdue them so that you will quickly conquer them and drive them out, just as the Lord has promised." Father, I thank you for your presence. I thank you for your word. I thank you for the ability to hear what your spirit is saying to us right now in this moment. God, I believe your report. And I thank you for what you're doing, what you have done, and what you're about to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Moses is addressing a new generation. The previous generation, as you well know, had come out of Egypt. And because they had failed to believe God, they died in the wilderness, except for Joshua and Caleb, who chose to believe God, and as a result are going into the promised land with the children of the previous generation who died in the wilderness. So this is a new generation, and Moses is reminding them. He's rehearsing in their ears all that God had spoken to them and what God had promised them. And so he's commissioning them once again as they stand at the borders of what God had promised, the promised land. Now, the promised land to you and I is everything that God has made available in Christ in this book that you and I know. Amen. Every promise is yea and amen to you and I. Every promise in this book is ours in Christ, is fulfilled in Christ, is ours in Christ. And so Jesus is our promised land. Hallelujah. And so here they stand at the borders of the land of promise. And Moses, under the inspiration of the Spirit, begins to speak to them. And he says, "Listen, O Israel, listen." And that word "listen" simply means to hear. It means to hear with attention or interest, to understand, to consent, to agree with what you're about to hear. To consent and agree with what you're about to hear. "Listen, O Israel, listen, O people of God. Listen, O spiritual Israel," that's you and I. "Today, you are about to cross the Jordan River. Not tomorrow, not next week, not sometime in the distant future, but today. Hear the word of the Lord. Listen, O Israel, today." And then later on, he mentions today again. Recognize in verse 3, "but recognize today." So here is an emphasis on the word today. You are about to cross the Jordan River to take over the land. The Jordan River represented that place of baptism, like the Red Sea. It represented death to the self-reliant man, death to the old man, if you will. It speaks of a people who have come to the end of themselves. They place no confidence in the flesh to to save them. They place no confidence in their ingenuity, in their planning, in their strategizing, and they don't lean on their own understanding. They're not trying to figure things out. They've been there, done that, and they know that doesn't work. Are you with me? And so they have made a choice to trust God. And so crossing the Jordan River, going over the Jordan River, is a type of baptism, which means a death to the old man, a death to self. Like you and I, when we trusted in Christ, we went down in the waters of baptism, but then we rose out of the waters of baptism, symbolic of a confidence in God and in Him alone. A death to the old man, death to that self-reliant man. They are completely relying on the Lord. They're coming to this place. Hallelujah. And it says to take over the land belonging to nations much greater, much more powerful than you. Nations that stood in their way, obstacles, enemies that stood in their way to the land of promise. Nations were enemies much more powerful than their natural strength. They lived in well-established strongholds. They were giants, well known for their dominance and power. I began to think, what are some of the giants or some of the common enemies people face today? Well, one of the first ones that came to my mind was the conformity, the objective of the enemy to conform you and I to the mindset of this world. Succumbing to the world's mindset, being conformed to the world's mindset. The scripture says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. So the world's mindset is in direct opposition to God's mindset for you and I, His plan for you and I. And folks, if you're listening to the airwaves constantly, to the news constantly, there is a temptation to be polluted by the mindset and the objectives of the men of this world, of the spirit of this age. There is an agenda by hell to sweep you and I away. Revelation talks about that. It talks about a flood that is released out of the mouth of the dragon, who is the devil himself, after the woman, who is a type of the church, to carry her away in this last hour of time. So there is a temptation to succumb to the world's mindset and to be conformed to this world. James, in chapter 4, verse 4, you don't need to turn there. He said, you adulterers, don't you realize that friendship with the world makes you an enemy of God? I say it again, if you want to be a friend of the world, you make yourself an enemy of God. The words of James, the Apostle James, in chapter 4, verse 4. And so the world's mindset is an enemy to you and I. You remember when Jesus told the disciples that he was going to go to the cross, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him and said, no, Lord, this is not going to happen. And what did Jesus say to him? He said, get behind me, Satan, because you savor the things of this world. You savor the mindset of this world and not of God. So folks, that is the mindset of the world stands in direct opposition to God's plan and will for your life and mine. What else stands in opposition? Well, obviously the powers of hell. The moment you make up your mind to follow Jesus, hell is going to oppose you. The devil's gonna do everything he can to stop you. He's gonna try to stop you from getting to God's word. He's gonna try and stop you from getting into the place of prayer. Because he knows if you happen to get in that place of prayer, which is that place of dependency and power, he knows the jig is up for him. Right? He knows that. Jesus said, if you pray to your Father in secret, your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. He knows if you ask, you will receive. If you seek, you will find. And to him who knocks, the door will be open. And so don't think it's strange, the fiery trial that comes to test you. Don't think it's strange when you're about to have your devotion time, the phone rings. Don't think it's strange, folks. There is an assignment. The Lord reminded me that a couple of weeks ago. There is an assignment of hell to keep you from the fullness of what God has for your life. We wrestle against principalities, spiritual forces in the heavenly realms, the scripture tells us. We also have an enemy in the flesh, the works of the flesh, the scripture talks about, right? Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Are you with me? Galatians chapter 5. Verse 16. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature, verse 17, wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you are not free to carry out your good intentions. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under obligation to the law of Moses. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, verse 19, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures. Folks, let me just say it. Let me just say it plainly. Sex outside of marriage between a man and a woman is sin. It's wrong. And that stands in direct opposition to what God has planned for your life. And so the Lord's come to give you victory today over that giant. He's come to set you free today, once and for all. Hallelujah. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, which means devotion to anything more than devotion to Christ. Sorcery, hostility, quarreling. Folks, it doesn't matter if somebody tried to put a hex or a curse on you. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, folks. Listen, when I came to Jesus, for those of you who don't know, I'm a Haitian American. So I grew up in a home where there was Catholicism and voodoo. Mixture. And there was a lot of fear, a lot of insecurity, a lot of bondage, a lot of superstition. But when I came to Christ, I said, when I came to Jesus, the Lord said, it doesn't matter. You're mine now. And I got you. Hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone that lives that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These things stand in direct opposition. So these can be enemies in our lives that you and I battle. Addictions of all sorts stand in opposition to what God has planned for our lives. Addiction to pornography, addiction to cigarettes, addiction to weed, addiction to alcohol, all types of addictions, addiction to gaming, sexting, depression. Lies that the enemy, or lies that have been spoken over your life. Lies that you may have embraced and believed till today. Till today. Fear and anxiety. How many are afraid today? Afraid of failure. Afraid of tomorrow. Afraid of going forward because what that might mean. Afraid of surrendering completely to God because of what that might look like or what that might entail. Fear and anxiety of all kinds. Here's one. Lack of contentment. That's an enemy. Lack of contentment. An enemy. That stands in opposition to the fullness of what the Lord has for your life and mine. Much more powerful than you. They live in cities with walls that reach to the sky. Deuteronomy 9:1 says. Cities that reach, with walls that reach to the sky. These enemies might seem insurmountable to you. Impossible for you and I to overcome. And they are in our own strength. They're not something that you and I can overcome. Verse 2 says, the people are strong and tall, descendants of the famous Anakite giants. They are giants to you and I. You've heard the saying, you can stand up to, who can stand to the Anakites? He says, but recognize today. And the word recognize means understand. Which means learn, to learn, to admit, acknowledge. To confess, to consider. In other words, but recognize today, consider today what I'm saying to you. Consider today what the Lord is saying to you and I. Despite these giants that you have faced, these giants that have been in your family, these skeletons that have been in your closets for years, the Lord is saying, I want you to understand something today. I want you to recognize today. Hallelujah. The Lord, the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords, the one who sits as King over every flood, the Lord Almighty, the King of majesty. Who is this King of majesty? The Lord strong and mighty, mighty in battle. Open up your gates, ye everlasting doors, and let the King of glory come in. Who is this King of glory? Who is this King of glory? Who is this King of glory? The Lord Almighty, whom the grave could not hold. Hallelujah. The Lord Almighty. The Lord who's never lost a battle. The Lord who delivers. The Lord who calls Lazarus out of the grave. He is the Lord your God. The gods of the nations are idols. But the Lord made the heavens and the earth. He is your personal Savior. He is your personal God. He is your personal protector, your personal provider, your personal redeemer, your personal director, your personal encourager, your personal strengthener, your personal lawyer, for he is your advocate. For even when your heart condemns you, he is greater than your heart. The gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Recognize today, he says. Hallelujah. I hope you don't mind. I get excited. I just, you know. I'm trying my best to stay calm. But folks, I can't help myself. The Lord your God is the one who will cross over ahead of you. He crosses over ahead of you. He crosses over ahead of you. We have a God that goes before us. Once when David, you remember David, King David? He has now been crowned king, not only over Judah, but over all Israel. The Bible says the Philistines came out against him. And the scripture tells us that the Lord told him that he would go out ahead of him. That's found in 2nd, you don't need to turn there, but in 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 24, and also in 1 Chronicles 14, 15, the Lord said to him, when you hear the sound like the marching on the tops of the mulberry trees, you will know that the Lord has gone out ahead of you. He has gone out ahead of you. The armies of heaven have gone out ahead of you. Jesus is the firstborn among many brethren. He has already paved the way for us. Colossians chapter 2 says it this way. It says, when you came to Christ, you were circumcised, but not by a physical procedure. Christ performed a spiritual circumcision, the cutting away of your sinful nature. For you were buried with Christ when you were baptized. And with him you were raised to new life because you trusted the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead. You were dead because of your sins and because of your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all. Somebody say all. All of our sins. He canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. In this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. Folks, he's gone ahead of us. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. 2 Corinthians 2:14 says, now thanks be to God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and makes manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. Hallelujah. I love this. But recognize today that the Lord your God is the one who will cross over ahead of you like a devouring fire to destroy them, your enemies. He will subdue them. So that you will quickly conquer them and drive them out, just as the Lord promised. He will subdue them. The Lord will subdue your enemies. Micah, I want you to turn there with me. The book of Micah, chapter 7. If you don't know where that is, go to your table of contents. No one will laugh at you, I promise. The book of Micah. One verse. Verse 19. Micah chapter 7, verse 19. He will again have compassion on us. Do you need compassion today? Well, the Lord says, I will have compassion on you. Again. And again, and again, and again, and again, and again. and will subdue our iniquities. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. The Lord will subdue your enemies. He will subdue our iniquities. He will subdue our iniquities. Many of you have heard me share this story, but I'm 50 now, so I can share stories again and again. I just got saved. I'm on my way to church. I've got a young sister in the car next to me, a brother in the back. I'm pulling up to the church. The church is on this side of the street. I'm on this side of the street. It's a two-way traffic. I've got to make a U-turn to pull in front of the church. The light down here is red. So I decide, okay, now's my chance. Let me make a U-turn in front of the church. Let me turn around so I can pull up and drop the folks off. I go to turn, and there's a car right at the light. He speeds up real fast. As soon as the light turns green, he speeds up real fast, and he stops within inches of my car. And he's honking his horn. And I forget that I'm a Christian. So I turn to him and I start, I start cursing him out, you know, but then suddenly everything slows down. And then I look at the young lady next to me and she is like, horrified in her seat. I look in the rearview mirror and the brother behind me is like, his mouth is like, his jaw is on the ground. And then suddenly it dawns on me that I'm saved and I'm a Christian and I'm going to church and I'm in front of the church. And so it gets very quiet in that car. They quietly open the door, close the door. I go park the car and I hang my head and I am broken. I'm broken. I'm disappointed. I feel ashamed. Devil's telling me in my mind, don't even go to church now. But I go into the church, I sit down, and the worship is going on, and I can't even lift my hands. I can't even lift my head. I'm just sitting in my seat, and I'm weeping. I'm bawling. I'm a new Christian. I'm bawling. I'm like, and all I can hear is the enemy saying, "See, you haven't changed. You're still the same. You know, you're still the same. You haven't changed." And I'm agreeing with the enemy. It's not good to agree with the enemy. But I'm a new Christian, so I'm listening to this voice and I'm saying, "Oh Lord, I failed you. I'm such a mess. What's the point? Oh God, I've so embarrassed you. I've embarrassed myself. God, oh God, oh God." And you know what the Lord said to me? He said, "Love me and trust me." Love me and trust me. In other words, don't give up. Lift your hands. Just worship me. Give this battle to me. Give it to me. Trust me. I'm not done with you yet. The best is yet to come. You're a work in progress. Doesn't mean we make peace with the enemy or with sin. But we agree with God. When God says something is wrong, we say it's wrong. If he says something is right, we say it's right. But but we go with God. Hallelujah. I want you to know, he delivered me. Obviously. Folks, at the cross, Jesus died in our place so we could be saved from the power and dominion of sin and from those who hate us and from the powers of hell and darkness. You've got to turn with me to this. Luke chapter 1. Turn with me to Luke chapter 1. Turn with me to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. This is the prophecy of the father of John the Baptist, Zechariah the priest, who had been stricken dumb once in the temple because of unbelief. And now he's able to speak because he has seen God in his faithfulness. And it's amazing. I just love this prophecy. Verse 67. Then his father Zechariah said, was filled with the Holy Spirit and gave this prophecy. Praise the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has visited and redeemed his people. He has sent us a mighty, somebody say mighty, a mighty Savior from the royal line of his servant David. Verse 70, just as he promised through his holy prophets long ago. Verse 71, now we will be saved from our enemies and from all who hate us. He has been merciful to our ancestors by remembering his sacred covenant, the covenant he swore with an oath to our ancestor Abraham. We have been rescued from our enemies so we can serve God without fear. Hallelujah. Fear of condemnation. Fear of rejection, fear of the lies of the enemy, folks, in holiness and righteousness for as long as we live. Praise God. Folks, the victory is already ours. Those who place their faith in Jesus for their salvation are victorious in Christ. That is our standing before God. We are victorious. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. He conquered and he comes and he gives us the victory. We are victorious in Christ, which means when God sees you, he sees you victorious in Christ. That is your standing in God. That is your standing in Christ. As we walk with God on a daily basis, what is he doing? He now is teaching us how to live a life of victory, how to walk in that victory. He's enabling us day to day to walk in this victory, folks. He's working in us both to will and do of his good pleasure. He works in us both to will and do of his good pleasure. What does that mean? He works us in us to will, which means he gives us the desire to now turn away from evil and to turn to that which is right and good, to turn from darkness to light, from the kingdom of Satan to Christ, from this world to the kingdom mindset. This is what God is doing. But he's not only working us to will of his good pleasure. He gives us the ability to do his good pleasure, folks. He gives us the ability to do of his good pleasure. The Bible tells us through the power of the Holy Spirit, we put to death, we mortify the deeds of the flesh. We mortify the deeds of the flesh. We're enabled to say yes to God and no to the flesh. We have the victory because of God's grace. The Lord gives us victory because of his love and mercy. Not because we've earned it, Not because we've earned it. It's because of his mercy and his love. It's a gift. It's a gift, folks. The inhabitants of the land here had sinned against their creator and resisted his spirit. So the Canaanites were cut off. Listen to the typology here. Because this all points to the church. It all points to you and I. It points to Christ. It points to the church, this story. Everything in the Old Testament points to the new. It's all about you and I, the church, the people of God. The inhabitants of the land had sinned against their creator and resisted his spirit. So the Canaanites were cut off and the Israelites were grafted in to the land. In the same way, because of their rejection of the Savior and their resistance to his spirit, the Israelites were cut off and the Gentiles were grafted in. Are you with me? For by grace you have been saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. Later on in this passage, in verse 25 and to 27, in the same chapter, Deuteronomy chapter 9, you see Moses recounting when he interceded for the people. Do you know Christ interceded for you and I? He stepped in and interceded for us so that we could be saved. Hallelujah. Recognize today that the Lord your God is the one who will cross ahead of you like a devouring fire to destroy them. He will subdue them so that you will quickly conquer them and drive them out, just as the Lord has promised. What promise are you holding on to today? What promise has he made you today? Don't forget what the Lord has done. And I close with this thought. You know, we have to remind ourselves sometimes of what the Lord has done. How many of you've been saved from an accident in the past? Car accident, terrible accident, something that could have, let me see a show of hands here. How many of you, the Lord has opened a door for you? He's opened doors from jobs, incredible jobs, to housing, apartments. How many of us, the Lord has provided for you financially? He's made a way. Even when you had no money, he made a way for you. How many of you, you've come upon an opportunity, an open door, and you just knew, wow. Oh my goodness. What? And you know it was the Lord. Do we have a reason to praise him? Let's stand, folks. We're not to forget what the Lord has done for us. On the contrary, we must praise him. We must thank him. We must remember to give him glory and honor and worship. For he alone has gotten us the victory. He's made a way out of no way. He's fulfilled his promises. Nothing is too hard for him. And it doesn't matter how big or how strong your enemy is. The Lord has and will continue to go before you to devour them. The victory is yours. Some of us would have been swallowed up by grief because because of the loss of a loved one or the loss of a relationship or the loss of something dear. But the Lord kept us. And we all have our own story, our own testimonies. And so can he be trusted? So I want to give a simple invitation. If you've got a giant that you're facing and you say, Pastor, would you pray with me? Would you pray for me? I want you to just get out of your seat, come to the front, here on the main floor, up in the balcony, go to either exit on the sides, come down. We'll wait for you here in the annex. You can move forward between the screens. At home, you can stand. You can get on your knees, however you see fit. North Jersey, they'll give you instruction there, but we're going to pray. We're going to sing a song and then we're going to pray together. But we're going to pray in faith, knowing to whom we're coming to because of his faithfulness, his proven track record. The victory is yours. Lord, we thank you today that you have indeed conquered the grave. And because we are in Christ, we too are raised to new life. Whatever the grave would try to throw at us can have no dominion over us because of your life in us. So God, we choose to trust you. We thank you for the victory that is already ours. We thank you for the victory that is already ours. Now we yield ourselves to you as you teach us and enable us daily to walk in the victory that you've already purchased, that is already ours. Thank you for this process. We will not despise small beginnings, but God, we know that he who began a good work in us will see it through to completion. And as we sang earlier, we know giants do die. The bigger they are, the harder they fall. And so we trust you, God. Be glorified. Be glorified. Lift your hands to him as a sign of surrender. Would you pray with me? Be glorified. I pray that you would increase. And that I would decrease. Fill me with your spirit. I yield complete control to you. Glorify your name. In my home, on my job, in my community, on my campus, wherever I am, let Jesus be exalted. In your mighty name I pray. Amen. Amen. One more victorious song before we go. Now, some of you may not feel victorious, but that's all right. Because we don't walk by our feelings, we walk by faith. And so, when you and I, by faith, go forward and believe God, we can worship, we can dance, we can shout, we can encourage one another. And when you do that, you're not, as I say to the young people, you're not faking it, you're faithing it. There's a difference. Because you've chosen to believe God, and as a result, you and I are going into the fullness of the land.